Satanoraguyo Sri Jiva Gopalako Sri Gauranga Gunarna Varna Navidao Shraddha Samridhan Vitao Papo Tapani Krin Tano tanupitam Govinda gana mritai Anabuddhi Anandambuddhivardhanaikanipuno Kaivalyanistarako Vande Rupa Sanatana Raguyugo Sri Jiva Gopalako Jaktvatur Namashesha Mandalapati Shrenim Sadatuchava Bhutvadina Ganesha Kao Karunaya Kopina Kanta Shrito Kopi bhavara samritam dilahari Kalaula magnao muhur
Can you go invite the devotees who are not here to come?
Vande Rupa Sanatana Raguyugo Sri Jiva Gopalako Kujat Kokila hamsa sara sagana kirne mayura kule Nana ratna nibada mula vitopa Shri yukta vindavane Radha Krishna Maharnisham Prabhajato Jivarta Dao Yau Muda mm-hmm. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyago Sri Jiva Gopalako. Sankhya Purvakana Magana Natibi Kalavasani Krito. Nidrahara Vihara Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyago Sri Jiva Gopalako. Radha Kundatate Kalinda Tanaya Tirde Chavam Shivate. Premon Madhav Shada Shesha Dashaya Grastau Pamatau Sada. Gayantau Chakada Hadir Gunavaram Bhava Bibhuto Muda. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyago Sri Jiva Gopalako. He Radhe Vraja Devi Ke Chalalite He Nanda Suno Puta. Sri Govardhana Kalpa Pada Patale Kalindi Vone Kutaha. Kushanta Viti Sarvato Vajapure Te Dair Mahavihwalao. Vande Rupa Sanatanora Guya Go Shri Jiva Gopala Go. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuya Go Shri Jiva Gopala Go. Today is appearance day of one of the primary avatars of Krishna, Lord Vamanadev. It's also the day of the appearance on this in this world of Sri Jiva Goswami, and it's also our first first graduation ceremony. So, Lord Vamana is considered one of the most complete of all the avatars of the Lord. He's not on the top list of four. There are the four Para Avasta avatars. He's number five, the fifth of, if I'm right, the fifth most completely attractive of all Krishna's appearances, especially because of his beauty. As Lord Vishnu usually does, he intercedes on behalf of the demigods in their conflicts and quarrels with the asuras. And in this case, it was a very pious asura, Bali Daityaraj, who was actually a great Vaishnava. But as a Daitya, he was opposing Indra and the demigods and threatening to take over their position, especially since Bali was such a great performer of Vedic sacrifices. And Indra was very much in anxiety that Bali would take over his position just on the strength of his the piety and the potency he had accumulated by all these yajnas. What does speak of his ability to defeat him militarily? So the mother of Indra, Aditi, actually on her husband's advice, Kashyapa's advice, she performed, I think this was the Payavrata ceremony, to get someone who would protect Indra from Bali Maharaj. And as a result of the penances and worship performed by Aditi, she had her 10th son, the youngest son, named Upendra, or he's famously known as Lord Vamanadev, because he appeared as a young Brahmin dwarf. The previous major incarnations of the Lord were in animal forms. Varaha, Kurma, Nrsimha. This was a form as a human being, but not a completely grown human being, a dwarf. But he was so beautiful that at his birth all the demigods came to worship him. And the great sages recognized immediately that he was the embodiment, the personification of all the Vedic sacrifices, and actually the Lord of sacrifice, Vishnu himself. So, I don't know if it was immediately at his birth, but he was given his Brahman Upanayana initiation. I think Lord Brahma gave him Kamandalu. Other demigods gave him the belt that the brahmachari wears and the danda. His mother, as is custom, his mother gave him his first alms, his first charity. And then he went off, little Vamanadev, carrying his umbrella and his kamandalu and everything else, to go out and collect charity, as a brahmachari does. And he came upon Bali Maharaj on the bank of some Narmada or some sacred river, performing the Vishwajit sacrifice. Vishwajit sacrifice is meant for conquering the whole world. And this is especially what Indra was worried about, that Bali would conquer Swargaloka and kick him out. So Vamanadev appeared in order to relieve the anxiety of Indra and get him back the security of his kingdom. Pratya ditsus tripishtapam. He appeared with the desire of returning or securing for the demigods their kingdom, which was threatened by Bali Maharaj. And actually, Bali did conquer it later on. And he will become the next Indra in the eighth Manvantara. So there is a real threat. Vamanadeva appeared, as the Lord appears many times, to protect the demigods. But this time, instead of acting as a kshatriya, he acted as a Brahmin. And as a deceptive Brahmin, he cheated Bali Maharaj of the three worlds. Because he came only asking for a very small parcel of land. Small boy. And he asked only for as much land as he could cover with three steps. So how big is he? How much can he step in three paces? Bali was glad. And for not, actually he was asking him, why don't you ask for something more? I can give you whatever you want. I have under my control all the worlds. I can give you everything. But the boy answered that it's not appropriate to be greedy. If a man cannot be satisfied with the small assets, then even if he possesses everything, if he doesn't control his senses and his mind, then even if he wins the whole world, he'll never be satisfied. So all I want is these three steps. Anyway, we all know the story, and we're short on time. But Bali Maharaj was cheated by Vamanadev of his Swargaloka conquest. He was pushed down into the Patala regions, disgraced, and arrested. But he submitted to everything, even though his guru told him not to do it. He went against the order of his guru. Just as his grandfather, Prahlad, had been opposed very violently by his father, Hiranyakashipu, Bali Maharaj had to deal with the opposition of his guru, Shukracharya, who forbade him to give this charity to Vishnu. But he did it anyway. He submitted, he accepted his disgrace, and for that Vamanadev rewarded him and gave him, for now, the rulership of the Sutala region, heavenly subterranean planet. And he himself promised to stay there with Bali Maharaj as his doorkeeper. Not just ceremonially, he actually performed the job. Later on in one of the Satyayugas, Ravana came and tried to force his way into Sutala Loka for conquest. He was conquering all the different planets. But the gatekeeper, this little boy, wouldn't let him in and actually kicked him away with his foot, kicked Ravana away, many thousands of yojanas. Prahlad is there also. He was invited to stay with them in Sutala Loka. But Vamanadeva is there as the doorkeeper. And he also promised Bali Maharaj, for now you'll stay in this subterranean region. In the next Manvantara, you will be elevated to the position of Indra. So that was the benediction of Bali Maharaj to the devotee who surrendered everything, who executed perfectly the devotional process of Atmanivedanam. And Vamanadeva as the youngest son of Kashyapa and Aditi, making him the younger son of Indra and of Surya and other demigods. He also agrees to stay all the time in another expansion. Vamanadeva is always in Swargaloka with Indra. Okay, today is also the appearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami. We are studying from Sri Jiva Goswami. He's our Shiksha Guru here. He's teaching us grammar. He's teaching us Bhagavatam from the Sandarbhas. Someday we may study Gopal Champu. He's our primary teacher here. Jiva Institute, that name's already been taken, so we can't use it. But very much we're students of Sri Jiva Goswami. There are many scholars in this world. The world's full of them. The libraries are full of scholarly books written by great scholars. Some of them with amazing powers of discrimination and memory and ability to express themselves very eruditely. Some of them are Vaishnavas. Some of them are just materialists. But even among the Vaishnav scholars, Sri Jiva Goswami stands out. He's not just a scholar, nothing like a Getty. He may be doing this service of very exact scholarship in the service of our Vaishnav Siddhanta, in the service of promoting pure Krishna consciousness. He's acting in the role of a scholar. But actually, he's one of the collection of devotees, close associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, headed by Rupa and Sanatan. He's their nephew, and he's really in their mood. Rupa Goswami was also a very great scholar. He wrote the textbook on Rasa Shastra, the grammar, the Vyakarana of Rasa, Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He wrote amazing poetry and dramas. He wrote other books that are very scholarly and other books that are very poetic. But basically, the mood of the, especially of the Six Goswami and of almost all the Acharyas in our line, the mood of devotion that they feel and express is what is called rasakmika bhakti. The interest, the focus, is on the taste of transcendental loving exchanges with Krishna and remembering the pastimes of Krishna, as was described in this Shad Goswam Ashtaka that we sang. Others, Vaishnav Sampradayas, their mood is more vicharatmaka bhakti. They study and argue on Vedanta Sutra. They try to understand everything philosophically. They're not on the same level that they're so much relishing directly rasa. So therefore, the other Vaishnav Sampradayas tend to be more scholarly and less emotional, let's say. That from the mundane point of view, our school looks like it's too emotional and not scholarly enough. And we don't have many great scholars of that kind, you know, very technical scholars, because our acharyas aren't interested so much in that. Even Rupa Goswami, when he wrote Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Ujjwala Nilamani, he wasn't showing off his scholarship with so many complicated arguments. It's a very simple presentation, very concise and to the point. But still, there is some need for this very, very strong scholarship. And Sri Jiva Goswami was delegated to carry out that mission. He was ordered by his uncles, Rupa and Sanatan, and he got directly order from Lord Nityananda Prabhu to become a great scholar. Of course, Rupa and Sanatan trained him up in his childhood. But later, this would be after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, and Jiva Goswami was staying as a young teenager with his parents old parents and taking care of them. Finally, the parents left their bodies. And Jiva Goswami, I think this is the story, was free to join the associates of Lord Chaitanya full-time, as a full-time bhakta. And he went first from his home, he went to Navadvip. He did not see most of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he went there to meet the few devotees who were still left on this planet. And Lord Nityananda was still there when Jiva Goswami went to Navadvip. Lord Nityananda personally took Sri Jiva, young Sri Jiva, he must have been 17 or 18 years old, on the Navadvip Dham Parikrama. He was escorted directly by Lord Nityananda, who told him everything about the glories of Lord Chaitanya and the glories of the Holy Dham. And then Lord Nityananda ordered him to go from there to go to Benares and study Vedanta and other philosophical topics. He already was an expert in grammar and in the basics, but he was sent by Lord Nityananda to become first-rate expert in Vedanta and other branches of philosophy, and to make sure that he knew all the shastras backwards and forwards. So he did that. Before joining Rupa and Sanatana in Vrindavan, he got his graduate training in Benares. One great devotee, Madhusudana Sarvabhauma, I think was his name. Not Madhusudana Sarasvati, he's a Mayavadi. It's another Madhusudana. Madhusudana Vachaspati became the primary teacher of Jiva Goswami in Benares. Then he joined Rupa and Sanatana in Vrindavan, and he became their assistant. There's the story that when the Digvijay Pandit came to try to defeat Lord Chaitanya, that's not that story. Another Digvijay Pandit came to try to defeat Rupa Goswami in debate. And Rupa Goswami was not interested in debating. So he said, give me the Vijaya Patra, the certificate that you have won the debate. I'll sign it. No need for the debate. Just give me the paper. I'll sign it. And he did. And the pundit was glad. He got another feather for his cap. He had defeated Rupa Goswami technically. And he was about to go away, but he was taking his bath before leaving in the Ganga. And Jiva Goswami saw him there and challenged him. Says, you think that you're better than my uncle, Rupa Goswami. Now you try to debate me. So Jiva Goswami embarrassed the pundit. He went away, in a sense, defeated by Jiva Goswami. I don't know if they had an actual debate, did they? They did. Okay, Jiva Goswami defeated him soundly. But when Rupa Goswami heard of this, at least externally, he showed that he was not very pleased with that. That Jiva Goswami was acting proudly and showing off his scholarship to defeat this mundaner, materialist. Actually, Jiva Goswami did it to defend the reputation of Rupa Goswami out of pure motives. But anyway, Sri Rupa Goswami just chose to chastise him. And in his maybe pretended anger, he told him, better you just leave Vrindavan, get out of here. So he went on the order, on what he perceived to be the order of his master. Sri Jiva went to the other side, the eastern bank of the Jamuna. He didn't go very far. He crossed the river and sat down on the bank on the other side. That's how he left Vrindavan. It's actually still Vrindavan. It's one of the forests over there. Which one? Bahulavan? Or not Bahulavan. Bilvavan over there on that side? Yes, Bilvavan. And he stayed on the shore. He actually took up residence in an abandoned hole that had been lived in by a crocodile. He sat in a crocodile's hole, and he didn't eat very much at all, and his health didn't keep up very well, sitting in that muddy, wet hole. He practically was ready to leave his body, staying there for a few months, and feeling separation. I think it's said that he got the inspiration to write to Gopal Champa while sitting in that hole. Some page of a manuscript, a palm leaf, floated down the river. He read it, and it gave him inspiration to write this book glorifying Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, and he wrote the Gopal Champu. Anyway, Sanatana Goswami reminded Rupa Goswami that Jiva was in exile, and he tactfully told him, isn't your duty to show compassion to the Jivas, Jiva Doya. So Rupa Goswami was reminded, and he called Jiva Goswami back and reinstated him in their company. Jiva Goswami served as the editor for Rupa Sanatan and the other Goswamis. He was the expert scrutinizer of their manuscripts and made stylistic corrections. In at least one case, he completely rewrote on the order of Sanatana Goswami. He rewrote the Vaishnav Toshani. So we have the Brihad Vaishnav Toshani version, the edited version by Jiva Goswami, and we have the original version by Sanatana Goswami. He also edited the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and other books of Rupa Goswami, the Stavamala, collection of various prayers and other poems, short poems by Rupa Goswami, was created by Jiva Goswami as a compilation of all these miscellaneous poems. And then, of course, Jiva Goswami went on to write books of his own, very important books, including the Six Sandarbhas, which is the most authoritative and thorough explanation of the actual teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam according to the style and mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his precepts. This is a rare book. Most commentaries on the Bhagavatam are just explaining verses one after another in verse order, which is a standard way to explain, especially such a long book. There are other essays on Bhagavatam written by Vopadeva and others that are not verse by verse, but they're also not a complete explanation of the Bhagavatam. They just deal with certain topics or a certain part of the Bhagavatam. Jiva Goswami, as far as I know, is the only one who's written an entire encyclopedia of the Bhagavatam in topical organization, topical order. That is the Six Sandarbhas. Anybody in our line, especially, who wants to be expert in his understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's no avoiding having to study in carefully these Sandarbhas. Prabhupada wanted them translated. He originally commissioned Jai Sachinandan Prabhu to do it. He wanted that BBT publish this book in English. Jiva Goswami also wrote the Gopal Champu. So he showed himself not only to be the greatest scholar, but also among the greatest poets. Of course, he's in competition with his own uncle, Rupa Goswami, with Prabodhananda Saraswati, Kavi Karnapur, other very, very great poets. But he's up there among these greatest of poets, his Gopal Champu and some other poems that he wrote are very amazing. I have not yet studied the Gopal Champu much, only looked at a little bit of it. It's in a complex form that originally comes from South India called Champu, which is like a dramatic recital. It's not a play, but it's not just a poem to be read. It's like the kind of poem that the actors stand on the stage and read, like standing at a podium and reciting. Or you may have two or three speakers reading the poem. That's called a dramatic recital. And the form is alternating prose and poetry. Very complicated prose, very complicated meters, but free form. It doesn't have any strict structure, but it's very ornate form of literature. Only a very expert poet would dare to try to write something in the Champu form. It's like writing a major symphony. If you're just a second-rate composer, you don't try it. So Jiva Goswami showed himself to be a first-rate poet in the Gopal Champu. And of course, in that book, he's recounting Krishna's wonderful pastimes, adding to what is said in the Bhagavatam, based on the Bhagavatam, but adding his own realizations and putting it into wonderful language. And of course, he also gave us our practical textbook based on Panini's grammar on Sanskrit language. Why did he do that? Well, not all devotees have to become scholars, but there is a need that some of our Gaudiya Vaishnavas become proper scholars to defend the Sampradaya and to defend the Siddhanta of our Sampradaya against anybody who might attack it. For that, they need to be expert scholars. And to be a scholar in our Shastras requires knowing the Sanskrit language. Students can study from Panini or from Siddhanta. Well, Siddhanta Komadi didn't exist then, or it was written about the same time. But there were various other grammars based on Panini and a few attempts at writing a non-Panini grammar. But Jiva Goswami wasn't satisfied. He wanted to put together one grammar that incorporates all the best grammatical research, all the best attempts to improve on Panini or to make Panini relevant to the modern age. And he wrote, and he wanted also to avoid all this gobbledygook of meaningless syllables. He wanted to incorporate Krishna Kirtan, Sankirtan, in the grammar sutras. So he wrote his for that purpose, to streamline and update the original grammar of Panini, to bring together all the innovations of newer grammarians, and to make it direct glorification of Krishna's names and qualities. He wrote his Harinam Vyakarana to give the young Gaudiya Vaishnavas a better method for studying their grammar and getting ready to study the Shastras. Of course, it was meant for young boys, not for 35-year-old men, but we're, you know, better late than never. But originally, the boys were 8 to 12 years old when they started studying this. Bala Anushasanam. What is the first beginning of Mangala Charana? Yeah, it says something about children? The boys? No, it doesn't. Okay. Balisha, maybe? What Balisha is there? Okay, anyway. Yeah. Anyway, today is Jiva Goswami's appearance day to do also. And at 9 o'clock after breakfast, we'll have our something of a graduation celebration. And we should also have some kirtans, and I hope we have a nice feast at 1 o'clock. Thank you. Come at 9 o'clock. It's a festival. Okay, thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Shri Jiva Goswami, Shri Vamana Dev Ki Jai.